Keeping the Faith Through the Unthinkable by Tamara Jean, a real life account. Chapter 10. Forgiveness. Forgiving the unforgivable from deep in the heart. Father, forgive them, for they are not aware what they are doing. Luke 23:34. The picture image for this chapter was actually purchased, one of the very few I have purchased. It has a wooden cross and large nails similar to those pounded into Yeshua's body, and a crown of thorns. Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they are not aware what they are doing. My life's afflictions pale in comparison to what Yeshua, Jesus, lived through, being falsely accused and arrested, tortured, flogged on several occasions, multiple times, with cords intertwined with sharp bone fragments, bleeding and wounded. A crown of thorns impaled into his head. Stakes pounded into his wrists and ankles. And finally lifted up to hang on the cross until death. All for me. Even when I was raped at knife point, and even through those years of a horrific, unimaginable, biased custody battle and divorce trial, completely devoid of justice, I add, along with my precious daughter being torn from my arms when I was protecting her. My life does not even come close to what Yeshua, Jesus, suffered for me to give me the gift of grace. However, I learned a valuable lesson from Yeshua, Jesus, and the grace He gave us all, even while hanging on a cross. It did not take Yeshua, Jesus, years of therapy, or anything else, to forgive. No, He did it in the moment. Even when He was alone, and Yahweh, God, could not be together with Him, when all the sins of the world were on Him in His final hours. Read Matthew 27:46. What a kind and gracious example to give us, to give me. Thank you, Brother Yeshua, Jesus. Thank you for all you suffered through to give me life and grace today. Dr. Tom Taylor wrote about a personal vision he had with Yeshua, Jesus, helping express the depth and personal nature of the love Yeshua, Jesus, gives each of us. His incredibly moving book, You Think You Have It Tough? Helps me to always remember that whatever I go through bears little weight in comparison to Yeshua's, Jesus's, life and walk. Dr. Tom Taylor writes, quote, Yeshua held out His hands, resting them on the table, palms up. I saw the scars where the nails had been driven into His flesh. Has anyone done this to you yet? He asked, pointing to his wrists. There was, of course, no answer needed to his question. There, kneeling in the garden, Yeshua became to me fully identified with all mortal humanity. He was only a few hours away from suffering one of the most brutal, painful, and publicly humiliating deaths imaginable. Crucifixion caused death by the slow suffering of dehydration, or asphyxiation from the weight of a man's body, restricting his lungs. Victims were left hanging for as long as it took them to die. This was what Yeshua faced, and he wanted out, if at all possible. Who could blame him? It was ordered for Yeshua to be flogged. They stripped his back, tied him to a stake, and brought out a short whip with several leather cords coming out of a thick handle. Metal discs with sharp edges were knotted into the cords, together with bone fragments. I was horrified when I saw the whip, which was designed to tear flesh off a man's body down to the bone. The pain that this punishment inflicted, together with the loss of tissue and the bleeding it produced, often killed its victim. Once on the hill of Golgotha, though he never resisted throughout the ordeal, the soldiers held him down, pressing his arms flat on the crossbar. One of them took a huge mallet and, holding a long, thin spike over Yeshua's wrist, just above the end of his palm, pounded it directly through the flesh. The sound of steel tearing through skin, muscle, and vessels was sickening. The process was repeated with Yeshua's other wrist, then his feet. Yeshua was pinned, literally, and he was in tremendous pain of a kind that I cannot fathom. When the soldiers set the pole upright, Yeshua's weight shifted downward, stretching the fresh wounds in his hands and feet. All I could do was watch and weep. End quote. From You Think You Have It Tough by Dr. Tom Taylor, pages 14, 35, 48 through 49, and 56 through 57. I humbly encourage you to read the whole book for yourself. You will never be the same again. This book is truly anointed. The words come alive. The vision Tom had with Yeshua, Jesus, and the Father. Every time I read it, I am right there with them. I will say it again. I cannot stress enough that my life pales in comparison to all Yeshua, Jesus, lived through on this earth and then forgave others for. Pales! As I shared in the first chapter, I had a much harder time finding something to be grateful for regarding the horrific, life-threatening rape at knife point experience at age 17. Than I did in forgiving Blake. Everyone in my life made such a big deal about what had happened to me that I quickly learned I could get attention and love, what I thought was love at the time, from it. However, in the beginning, I refused to go to therapy, though I did wonder why it had happened. I wondered why Blake did what he did to me. I went to the library one day, months later, and searched for books to explain to me why people hurt others. I found a book, I do not recall the title, explaining that people who hurt others have themselves been hurt, often as young children. I felt bad for Blake. I imagined the horrendous childhood and life he must have had to be able to do such an unspeakable act to me. I did not excuse his actions. I had taken him to court, and he went to jail for 4 years. Unthinkable as it might seem, having read that book, my heart did go out to him, though, for in my understanding, He must have had a beyond indescribable life to be able to do such a thing. I forgave him. I did not ever want to see him nor talk to him again. But I did forgive him. I did tell my Father in heaven, if he, Yahweh, God, wanted me to speak to Blake, I would. I did not want to, but I would. Your will be done, Father, I told him in my heart of hearts. However severe the life experiences and pain I had lived through were, remembering Yeshua's, Jesus, forgiveness of those who conducted unspeakable acts against him brought this scripture to my mind. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you should be forgiving men their offenses, your heavenly Father also will be forgiving you. Yet, if you should not be forgiving men their offenses, neither will your Father be forgiving your offenses. Yeshua's, Jesus's, words on the cross have also helped me immensely in my life. Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they are not aware what they are doing. My Father in heaven taught me to speak it, to be encouraged by it, as I walked through the horrific, long, drawn-out trial and divorce, during which almost all of my family, whom I subsequently call blood relatives, completely turned against me. Countless times throughout my life, the Spirit of Yahweh, God, reminded me that Yeshua, Jesus, said, Luke 8:20-21. Now it was reported to him, saying that, Thy mother and thy brothers stand outside wanting to see thee. Now he, answering, said to them, My mother and my brethren are those who are hearing the word of God and doing it. Matthew 10:34-38. You should not be inferring that I came to be casting peace on the earth. I did not come to be casting peace, but a sword. For I came to pit a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And the enemies of a man are those of his household. He who is fond of father or mother above me is not worthy of me. And he who is fond of son or daughter above me is not worthy of me. And he who is not taking his cross and following after me is not worthy of me. My biological parents, I will refer to them as Karen and Roger, flew out to New England for the divorce trial, unbeknownst to me that they were even attending, until they called and asked if I would like to meet them at a restaurant. They had flown out to support Red. What? I agreed to meet them. They did not recognize me upon their arrival. I actually held the door open for them, and they walked right past me, not noticing me at all. I took a breath, prayed, entered the restaurant, and sat down across the table from them. That day, I felt Yahweh, God, near me and with me. Bless you, Father in heaven, thank you. The energy around Karen and Roger was devoid of the Spirit of Yahweh, God. It was serious, tense, stubborn, and religious. It was palpable. I said to them, I want to tell you both the whole truth. I literally saw in the spirit a line in the sand being drawn down the middle of the table. A line between myself and Karen and Roger. Just like when Joshua drew a line and said, "Choose this day whom you will serve." Joshua 24:15. Yet if it is displeasing in your eyes to serve Yahweh, choose for yourselves today whom you shall serve, whether those Elohim that your fathers had served when they dwelt across the stream, or whether the Elohim of the Amorite, in whose land you are dwelling. Yet I and my house, we shall serve Yahweh. They looked at me questioningly, untrusting, and Roger slowly, cautiously said, "Okay." I told them everything. Yahweh, God, speaking to me, saying, "Light cannot live with darkness." My back being completely healed from the day I said, "I am getting a divorce." Everything about my daughter waking up and screaming uncontrollably for an hour at 11 p.m. months prior. About the doctor visit. About how my daughter was miraculously healed and healthy again in Texas through powerful prayer, nutritious foods, and bioenergetics treatments. About my daughter continually asking to come live with me when I was allowed to see her. I told them much, much more. I told them everything. Karen and Roger are Lutherans, devout, strict Lutherans. They also believed completely, hook, line, and sinker, in the medical model. Looking back, writing this today, I am not surprised at the choice they made that day. It took me years to leave the medical model belief system that had been ingrained in me. But Yahweh, God, was giving them one last chance that day. One last chance to pick a side before court in mere days. Karen was being the devout wife, not saying a word, not one. She would shake her head sometimes in disgust and disbelief that I would even say such things, such nonsense. I could almost hear her thinking. And Roger, he asked me a few questions, but then shut down. I felt his energy. He did not want to hear the truth, the whole truth either, in the end. I prayed for them, as Yeshua, Jesus, set the example. Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they are not aware what they are doing. Romans 5:20b. Yet where sin increases, grace superexceeds. Romans 12:14. Bless those who are persecuting you. Bless and do not curse. I had done my part, as Barbara Brown and Dr. Tom Taylor teach. Quote, 1. Show up. 2. Pay attention. 3. Share your truth. 4. Let go of the outcome. End quote. From Your Personal Roadmap to Whole Body Cleansing by Barbara Brown, MSE, and Dr. Tom Taylor, page 95. I had shown up, remaining spiritually strong. I paid attention to my spirit throughout and to the energy around me, to the words used. I spoke only the truth. I let go, knowing that they were free to make their own choice and face its consequences. I drove home, amazed at what I had just seen in the spirit, the line being drawn in the sand, that Yahweh, God, trusted me enough to show me His view, heaven's view, just as Yahweh, God, would show His prophets visions. So He opened my eyes again to see in the Spirit also. Bless His holy name. And I was also saddened at the decision Karen and Roger had made. My heart went out to them. They seemed to be doing the best they knew. They chose the religious spirit that was deeply rooted in them. I had been trapped there myself. They chose the medical model and family belief systems that were ingrained in them, boxing them in. I had been stuck there too. That said, they also could have chosen the truth that was making me free. John 8:32b, and the truth will be making you free. I also understand Yahweh's, God's, ways, and how He treats His kids, His chosen ones. He says, John 15:18-21, if the world is hating you, know that it has hated me first before you. If you were of the world would be fond of its own. Now, seeing that you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world is hating you. Remember the word which I said to you, a slave is not greater than his Lord. If me they persecute, you they will be persecuting also. If my word they keep, yours also will they be keeping. But all these things they will be doing to you because of my name, seeing that they are not acquainted with him who sends me. Genesis 12:3. I shall indeed bless those blessing you, and I shall curse the one maledicting you. However, I know I had climbed, or was still climbing, out of those boxes, those systems, so I know it is possible. Easy? No. Possible? Yes, but not alone. Matthew 19:26. With men, this is impossible, yet with God, all is possible. Mark 9:23. Now Jesus said to him, why the if? You are able to believe. All is possible to him who is believing. I prayed again, knowing that if Yeshua, Jesus, could, so could I. Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they are not aware what they are doing. Hence, as a result of the choice of their decision to support, believe, and befriend Red, I then stopped speaking to them. I kept away from them, thus shunning them. The morning of court, I walked in alone, carrying all of my evidence for trial, folders and binders of notes, and of course, my Bible. Not one person sat with me, nor behind me, supporting me. Though I now know Yahweh, God, and a host of angels were there that day, standing with me. Karen and Roger sat in the exact middle of the courtroom. After a few hours, they both moved to sit completely on the other side, the side of the defendant, Red. Months prior, Roger had agreed to testify against me in court. However, He had changed his mind weeks after his initial decision. And I believe Yahweh, God, gave him, or will give him, grace for that. Karen was also asked to testify against me. She said no immediately. Bless her. Christina and her husband did both testify against me. When I realized they were testifying against me, I asked the judge to have them leave the courtroom until the time of their testimony. I did not want them to have any understanding of what was said in court prior to giving their own testimonies. The judge approved my request. The trial ended up lasting more than one day. It was scheduled to reconvene a few weeks later. Upon completion of that first day, I was relieved that part was over, yet dreading the upcoming final day of trial. Sadly, I had not yet learned to be still, relax, and know that I am Elohim. Psalm 46:10. I felt so much fear that peace, His true peace, could not reach me. Father, forgive me. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be steadfast and be resolute. Do not fear and do not be terrified because of their presence. For Yahweh, your Elohim, He is the one going with you. He shall neither neglect you nor forsake you. Philippians 4:6-7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, that is superior to every frame of mind, shall be garrisoning. Protect with a military force. Concordant literal keyword concordance. Shall be garrisoning your hearts and your apprehensions in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:25b. The weakness of God is stronger than men. I read these stories and scriptures repeatedly over the next few weeks. 2 Kings 6:16-17. Elisha replied, "Do not fear, for those with us are more than those with them." Now Elisha prayed and said, "O Yahweh, unclose, I pray, his eyes so that he may see." Yahweh unclosed the eyes of the lad, and he saw, behold, the hill was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Read the whole story, 2 Kings 6:8-23. Matthew 14:28-29. Yet answering him, Peter said, "Lord, if it is thou, order me to come to thee on the waters." Now he said, "Come." And descending from the ship, Peter walks on the waters to come to Jesus. Read the whole story, Matthew 14:22-33. Isaiah 43:18-21. Do not be mindful of the former things, and do not consider those preceding. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it is sprouting. Do you not know it? Indeed, I am placing a way in the wilderness, tracks in the desolation. The animals of the field shall glorify me, wild jackals and ostriches. For I provide water in the wilderness, streams in the desolation, to give drink to my people, my chosen, this people I have formed for myself, and they shall recount my praise. Deuteronomy 1:29-33. Yet I was saying to you, you should not be terrified, and you should not fear them. Yahweh your Elohim, who is going before you, he himself shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt, before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you saw how Yahweh your Elohim carried you, just as a man carries his son, in all the way you went until you came to this place. Even in this matter you were not believing in Yahweh your Elohim, who is going before you in the way to explore for you a place for you to encamp, in fire by night, to show you the way by which you should go, and in a cloud by day. Mark 11:22-24. And answering, Jesus is saying to them, if you have faith of God, verily I am saying to you, that whosoever may be saying to this mountain, be picked up and cast into the sea, and may not be doubting in his heart, but should be believing that what he is speaking is occurring, it shall be his, whatsoever he may be saying. Therefore I am saying to you, all, whatever you were praying and requesting, be believing that you obtained, and it will be yours. Isaiah 40:28-31. Do you not know, or do you not hear, that Elohim Eonion is Yahweh, creator of the ends of the earth? He does not faint, nor is he wearied. There is no fathoming of his understanding. He is giving vigor to the faint, and to one who is without virility, he is increasing staunchness. Youths may faint and be wearied, and choice young men may stumble, yea, stumble. Yet those who are expectant in Yahweh shall rejuvenate with vigor. They shall ascend on pinions like vultures. They shall run and not be wearied. They shall walk and not faint. Psalm 46:1-3, 11. Elohim is our refuge and strength, a very providing help in distresses. Therefore, we shall not fear when the earth is made to change, or when the mountains slide into the heart of the seas. Its waters clamor, they foam, the mountains quake at its swelling. Yahweh of hosts is with us. Our impregnable retreat is the Elohim of Jacob. 2 Chronicles 32:7-8. Be steadfast and be resolute. Do not fear and do not be dismayed because of the king of Assyria, and because of the presence of all the throng that is with him. For with us is more than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is Yahweh our Elohim to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were supported by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Read the whole story where Yahweh, God, kills 185,000 men in the enemy camp. 2 Chronicles 32:1-23. Unfortunately, my faith was still weak, and I would feel fear again. I was growing, though. My Father in heaven was strengthening my faith and my spirit muscle. He stood by me at every moment, even though I did not always feel his presence there. Looking back, I know he was there with me. A few weeks later, I was back in court for the final day of trial. Over the whole trial, Testimonies were heard from a doctor, the court-appointed representative of my daughter, and others. Christina and her husband both testified against me. I then cross-examined them both, as with everyone who is called for the defense to the witness stand. Christina cried on the witness stand, looking straight at me, with tears rolling down her face, saying, "I want my sister back, the old Tamra." I thought, "Really? The one who was overweight? On anxiety and depression medications? The one who had a depleted disc in her sacrum for life, according to doctors? Miserable and stressed? You want that person back? What? Why?" The scripture study of Dr. Tom Taylor came to mind, which I shared about previously, when he said, "We ought never to change who we are to suit anyone other than the Father himself." I cross-examined Red on the witness stand also. He denied almost every question I asked. I was at a loss. I wanted to shout, "Yes, you did," though I knew it would not do any good at all. Yahweh, God, knew the truth, so I held on to that. Luke 8:17, "For nothing is hidden which shall not become apparent, neither concealed which should not by all means be known and come to be apparent." Luke 12:2, "Now nothing is covered up which shall not be revealed, and hidden which shall not be known." I was examined by Red's lawyer. I was on the witness stand for hours. As I was representing myself, and clearly not a professional lawyer, the judge did give me grace, stepping in a few times when, I believe, Red's lawyer was over-questioning me, or overstepping the mark by attempting somewhat questionable court conduct. When the trial was finally over, the judge went into deliberation. I was in shock at how Christina and her husband testified lies against me. They seemed completely blinded to the truth, or not prepared to face the consequences of it, aligned as they were with Red. Now, I do not know why I was so shocked. Yeshua, Jesus, himself said that, "He who is receiving you is receiving me," a scripture I knew all too well that applied here. Matthew 10:40, "He who is receiving you is receiving me, and he who is receiving me is receiving him who commissions me." John 15:18-19, "If the world is hating you, know that it has hated me first before you. If you were of the world would be fond of its own. Now, seeing that you are not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore the world is hating you." Matthew 5:11-12, "Happy are you whenever they should be reproaching and persecuting you, and falsifying, saying every wicked thing against you, on my account. Rejoice and exult, for your wages are vast in the heavens. For thus they persecute the prophets before you." The judge's decision took what felt like forever, over 2 months. On the exact same day of the year that I had gotten married, the judge signed the divorce decree. 12 years later. That is how Yahweh, God, works. He is into the details. I was finally free. Free of the persecution and the lies, and free of that which had manacled me to them, my name. Actually, I had a new name. I refused to return to my maiden name, refused to be connected to dead people, people who chose to not believe me, to not believe the truth and pursue it, those who chose the side of the enemy. The details of the divorce judgment were unconscionable. I was even ordered to pay off all credit cards, all the debt of which had been incurred by both parties throughout the term of the marriage. And, worst of all, my daughter was ordered by the judge to be raised solely at the hand of Red. Even after all my expositions regarding his manipulation of my young daughter, his lack of nutrition given to her, and his actions toward her, to say the least. What is happening in the world? I did some research, and to my absolute shock and horror, this actually happens to many, many mothers. Children are being given to biological dads, even when it was clear that that decision was not the most healthy outcome for the child, including when the biological dad was abusive. What? How can that even be legal? Never mind ethical. Additional research in 2021 includes the following findings. An article titled, Family Court Crisis: Courts Placing Children with Abusive Parents with Tragic Results, in the Child Welfare Monitor, states the following shocking information. Emphasis mine. A 4-month investigation by Jillian Friedman in the Deseret News found that in many cases family courts are failing to protect children, allowing unsupervised visits or even custody to abusive parents. These decisions are resulting in physical and sexual child abuse and sometimes homicide. Why would family courts put a child in danger by allowing unsupervised contact with a dangerous parent? One reason, experts told Friedman, is that the judges and custody evaluators hired by courts often do not believe the claims of danger from the other parent who is trying to protect the child. As the director of CJE told Friedman, in custody proceedings, family courts often see a parent's allegation of child abuse as no more than a tactic to undermine the other parent's custodial rights to the child, and therefore not a credible accusation. Several of the mothers interviewed by Friedman reported that their attorneys told them not to allege abuse for fear that these allegations would lead to an adverse custody ruling. From Child Welfare Monitor, article, Family Court Crisis: Courts Placing Children with Abusive Parents with Tragic Results, gathered on July 14, 2021 at childwelfaremonitor.org. In 2019, George Washington, G.W. Law Faculty Publications and Other Works, presented the following final report to the funder, the National Institute of Justice, titled, Child Custody Outcomes in Cases Involving Parental Alienation and Abuse Allegations, by Joan S. Meyer, George Washington University Law School, jmeyer@law.gwu.edu, Sean Dixon, Chris O'Sullivan, Leora Rosen, and Jeffrey Hayes. I will share only the opening paragraph here, underlining emphasis mine. Arguably, the most troubling aspect of justice system response to intimate partner violence is custody court's failure to protect children when mothers allege the father is abusive. Family court's error in assessing adult and child abuse and punitive responses to abuse allegations have been widely documented. The report later adds the following proven facts. These data, powerfully affirm the reports from the field that women who allege abuse, particularly child abuse, by a father are at significant risk, over 1 in 4, of losing custody to the alleged abuser. Importantly, this rate applies even in cases where the father appears not to have claimed alienation to defeat the abuse claim. Even when courts find that fathers have abused the children or the mother, they award them custody 14% of the time. In cases with credited child physical abuse claims, fathers win custody 19% of the time. From GW Law Faculty Publications and Other Works, Report, Child Custody Outcomes in Cases Involving Parental Alienation and Abuse Allegations, by Joan S. Meyer, Sean Dixon, Chris O'Sullivan, Leora Rosen, and Jeffrey Hayes, gathered on July 14, 2021, at scholarship.law.gwu.edu. An updated version of the above report was also published in the Journal of Social Welfare and Family Law in 2020. Slightly more academic and peer-reviewed, the report now titled U.S. Child Custody Outcomes in Cases Involving Parental Alienation and Abuse Allegations. What Do the Data Show? Written by Joan S. Meyer at George Washington University Law School, Washington, D.C., discloses the same unimaginable and horrific proven statistics as well. The paper's abstract includes the following, emphasis mine. Family court and abuse professionals have long been polarized over the use of parental alienation claims to discredit a mother alleging that the father has been abusive or is unsafe for the child. This paper reports the findings from an empirical study of 10 years of U.S. cases involving abuse and alienation claims. The findings confirm that mothers' claims of abuse, especially child, physical, or sexual abuse, increase their risk of losing custody, and that the father's cross-claims of alienation virtually double that risk. Alienation's impact is gender-specific. Fathers alleging mothers are abusive are not similarly undermined when mothers cross-claim alienation. The journal goes on to say, emphasis mine, the data tells us nothing about why the courts deemed the mothers to be worse parents than the fathers accused of abuse, nor how severe any credited abuse was. However, the experiences of myriad lawyers, advocates, and litigants in custody abuse cases is that courts and ancillary professionals frequently react to mothers' claim of paternal abuse, particularly child abuse, with hostility and criticism. Meyer, 2003, Meyer and Dixon, 2017. It is likely, therefore, that many of these mothers were penalized with loss of custody, at least in part, because they reported the father to have abused themselves or their children, and the court did not believe them. From the Journal of Social Welfare and Family Law, Report, U.S. Child Custody Outcomes in Cases Involving Parental Alienation and Abuse Allegations, What Do the Data Show? By Joan S. Meyer. Gathered on September 17, 2021, at doi.org. I feel sick to my stomach. My own court case and life having added to these beyond disturbing statistics. I was afraid to continue with the research, afraid of the result I would continue to find. As I have personally found, healing is not found in the courtroom. nay, not anywhere in the world, only in Yahweh, God. Father, bless the children, all the children of the world. Father, I know that you heal in an instant, every person, every child. Father, use me. Use this example of complete healing, complete surrender, complete forgiveness and gratitude to give hope and healing to a lost and dying world. And let us all remember Yeshua, Jesus, and all that he lived through to give us grace, hope, peace, and love. I choose to praise you, Father. I choose to keep my eyes focused on you alone. Give mountains of strength to all who have been hurt, to all in the world. In Yeshua's, Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The scripture comes to my mind. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No trial has taken you except what is human. Now, faithful is God, who will not be leaving you to be tried above what you are able, but, together with the trial, will be making the sequel, a way to escape, exit, concordant literal keyword concordance, also, to enable you to undergo it. As I write this, I battle with feeling pity, worldly sorrow, and emotional overwhelm. I encourage myself, as I do you, too, dear reader, with the following words from chapter 1. Find one thing you are grateful for. Even if it feels like a huge leap to take, a ravine too far to cross, I encourage you to leap with me. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of Christ be arbitrating in your hearts, for which you were called also in one body, and become thankful. Yahweh, God, works all for his good, for those loving him. Now, I am on the other side, living for Yahweh, God, and living in victory, and, with all humility, strength, and faith, now I can help you. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of pities and God of all consolation, who is consoling us in our every affliction, to enable us to be consoling those in every affliction. Through the consolation with which we ourselves are being consoled by God. Barbara Brown prays for everyone who has been hurt by a father or dad on this earth, to heal any hurt sinned against us, gently pointing us to look toward the Father of us all, our Father in heaven, and not focusing on what is happening on this earth, in this present wicked eon. Read Galatians 1:4. I encourage you, as I myself have been encouraged, to include anyone, not just a father or dad, who may have hurt you, or indeed someone you know. She writes in her book, Rescuing God from the Rubble of Religion, quote, I pray that as he, Yahweh, puts his big arms around his children and brings them into his heart, they know that they are loved and safe. And my days, all of them were written on your scroll. The days, they were formed when there was not one of them. Psalm 139:16. Father, you knew what each of us would need to go through, to be all you've called us to be. I'm not second-guessing your plan or the path on which you have taken each of us. But, Father, I am crying out for your mercy and grace. Manifest your presence in each of our lives and heal the memories of the past. Forgive us for any judgments we have had against our biological fathers. We don't know what makes people do what they do. But you said, whose sins we forgive, you forgive. So we proclaim all pardon for anyone's sins, because if we don't forgive, we can't be forgiven. See Matthew 6:14-15. Father, let your glory fall and bring all your children to yourself. Thank you for your strategy for the victory in everyone's life. I pray we get beyond anything that has happened in this earthly, fleshly realm and come into your presence where you make all things new. So that, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. The primitive passed by. Lo, there has come new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. End quote. From Rescuing God from the Rubble of Religion by Dr. Tom Taylor and Barbara Brown, MSc, pages 37-38. Dr. Tom Taylor and Barbara Brown also dedicate an entire chapter titled Who's in Charge Here? In this same book, Rescuing God from the Rubble of Religion, answering head-on the age-old question of how can Yahweh, God, be in charge if there is so much evil in the world? Here is a small piece of the wisdom shared, which gives my heart some peace in knowing and receiving Yahweh, God, and His ways. Underlining emphasis mine. The Hebrew word Elohim, which we introduced in the first chapter, means subjector to, CLV. For to vanity was the creation subjected, not voluntarily, but because of Him who subjects it. Romans 8:20. Are we not part of the creation that the Apostle Paul referred to in the scripture above? Certainly. So, using the definition of the words above, let's look at exactly what Paul's message means to us today. The whole creation, that includes us, was arranged under or subordinated to what is devoid of truth and appropriateness, to perverseness and depravity. None of this was voluntary on our part. We had nothing to say about it. Why? Because of Him who subjects it, i.e., the Father. Definitions are from Thayer. When we read on in Romans 8, we discover why the Father subjects the creation to vanity. In expectation that the creation itself, also, shall be freed from the slavery of corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Romans 8:20-21. God is the original and active cause of the all, absolutely everything, and it is He who subjects the creation to the slavery of corruption in order to elevate it into glorious freedom. According to the Father's reckoning, glorious freedom can only be appreciated after the experience of the slavery of corruption. It is critically important to remember that God is raising mature sons and daughters, like Yeshua, to whom the Father can relate and who can relate to Him. As God's offspring, we are unlikely to understand the requirements of the maturation process we must undergo, which makes faith or trust so necessary. From Rescuing God from the Rubble of Religion by Dr. Tom Taylor and Barbara Brown, MSc, pages 141 through 142. My deepest learning from this piece here is for me to remember and know and accept that I am not Yahweh, God, that He did not ask my opinion nor seek my counsel when deciding how He will do anything or what He will allow in this world. And that since I was raised in the world, in pity and not liking or appreciating hardships or discipline, wishing for comfort and ease in all things in life, instead of appreciating all of the learnings from every experience in life, that it will take me time, energy, determination, focus, and humility in unlearning lies, and to begin to understand Yahweh, God, and His ways. It also comes to my mind that humans choose evil or good, and there are choices and consequences for all choices. Everyone will stand at the dais of Christ and be judged for all of our actions. Read 2 Corinthians 5:10. I encourage you to read this chapter titled, Who's in Charge Here? In Rescuing God from the Rubble of Religion. Frankly, and in all sincerity, read the entire book. I continued to pay money to be supervised during the precious few hours I was allowed to spend time with my young daughter, only 6 years old at the time. I became the black sheep at my daughter's school. Red became quite popular among all the mothers, and to anyone who would listen, he would tell his story. All of the parents heard through the grapevine of this small private Christian school, and rapidly my reputation was dragged through the mud, to say the least. No one spoke to me anymore. I was considered with disdain, as if I was leprous. Psalm 119:141. I am insignificant and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Matthew 5:11-12. Happy are you whenever they should be reproaching and persecuting you, and falsifying, saying every wicked thing against you on my account. Rejoice and exult, for your wages are vast in the heavens, for thus they persecute the prophets before you. I learned to rise above it. Such cruelty would not deter me from seeing my daughter. I learned to not look at their faces, to keep my gaze straight ahead along the path of truth, literally, the truth only Yahweh, God, knew. That is all that matters. I taught myself to not remember the past, what my relationships with others used to be like, but instead to enjoy what little time I had with my precious child. Isaiah 43:18-19. Do not be mindful of the former things, and do not consider those preceding. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it is sprouting. Do you not know it? Indeed, I am placing a way in the wilderness, tracks in the desolation. I repeated this scripture many, many times per day. I did not know what the new thing Yahweh, God, was doing was, but I did know He was doing it. I knew to speak His word into my life. I continued to see my daughter when I was legally allowed for the school's public celebrations at Christmas, on Mother's Day, and on a few other rare but cherished occasions. My daughter would run up to me, excitedly shouting, Mama! and throw her arms around me and hug me. She would beg me to let her come home with me. What do you say to that? You can't say what you want to say, nor do what you know to be best. I broke down inside, again and again. Soon, I said to her, soon you will. I am doing all I can. I would pray over and bless my daughter every time I said goodbye. Big angels, guard and protect you. However, as time passed and lies seeped below the surface, the hurt and sadness she was feeling soon turned to blaming me, and her words of, "This is all your fault," shattered my heart when I would see her at supervised visitations for 1 or 2 hours on the weekends. Of course, what would you expect from a 6-year-old missing her mother while not understanding what the courts can sometimes do, nor the real evil that often occurs in the world? Yahweh, God, alone knows what she would hear and absorb throughout the week. Again, the scriptures came to my mind. Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they are not aware what they are doing. Proverbs 19:11. It is intelligence for a man when he postpones his anger, and it is his beauty to pass over a transgression. Matthew 10:21-22. Now brother shall be giving up brother to death, and father child, and children shall be rising up against parents, and you shall be hated by all because of my name. Yet he who endures to the consummation, he shall be saved. Luke 12:51-53a. Are you supposing that I came along to give peace to the earth? No, I am saying to you, but rather division. For from now on there will be 5 in 1 home divided, 3 against 2, and 2 against 3 will be divided, father against son, and son against father, and mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Here are some additional scriptures that I have found helpful to me now, even today. I pray they help you also, if you need them. Isaiah 48:17. Thus says Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who is teaching you to benefit, positioning you in the way you shall go. Psalm 32:8. And I shall direct you in the way that you should go. I shall indeed give counsel with my eye upon you. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who is leading up our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, be adapting you to every good work to do his will, doing in us what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for the eons of the eons. Amen. Psalm 23. Yahweh is my shepherd, nothing shall I lack. In verdant oases he is making me recline. Beside restful waters he is conducting me. My soul he is restoring. He is guiding me in the routes of righteousness on account of his name. Even though I should walk in the ravine of blackest shadow, I shall not fear evil, for you are with me. Your club and your staff, they are comforting me. You are arranging a table before me in front of my foes. You have sleeked my head with oil. My cup is satiated, filled to overflowing. Yea, goodness and benignity, mercifulness, kindness and bountifulness, from the concordant literal keyword concordance. They shall pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh for the length of my days. Proverbs 20:24. A master's steps are directed by Yahweh. How then can a man understand his way? Throughout my life, there have been other events in which I have followed Yeshua's, Jesus's, example in forgiving others. Some of them include, while going through all the changes in my life, learning to hear and heed the Spirit, leaving behind my old boxes, boxes of the medical model, of family systems, of big box religion, and of all the lies the world and religion teach, I would sometimes go for a drive on short getaways to hiking parks out in nature. One day, I drove up north to a small town with a lovely nature park. I went for a peaceful walk through forests, by bubbling brooks, the smell of pine wafting all around me, caught in the beautiful bliss of walking with my Father, Yahweh, God. Upon returning to the parking lot, still at a distance, I saw someone with their head in my car. They had forced the back door and were rummaging through my belongings. I yelled, "Hey!" And the man quickly stood up, shut the door, and ran to his own truck. I ran toward him and boldly asked, "What are you doing?" The man responded that he was hungry and wanted some food. While not entirely believing him, I was reminded of this scripture, "If your enemy should be hungering, give him the morsel." Read Romans 12:20. So I took some crackers from my car and boldly walked over to his truck and asked if he would like some. He was shocked and timidly asked why I was being so nice to him after what he had done. I stated that the scripture says, "Give a hungry person food." Read also Isaiah 58:7, and walked away, a little scared and mistrusting of him. I forgave him immediately and praised Yahweh, God, for an opportunity to live out his scriptures. Despite being a little shaken, I was grateful for the strength Yahweh, God, had given me. In times past, I would have kept my mouth shut and simply driven away scared, instead of being Yeshua, Jesus, to someone. When I was young, around 10 years old, all my siblings were going to the mall together, my two oldest sisters and my two brothers. I asked if I could accompany them, and they agreed. However, vacuuming my bedroom on that Saturday afternoon, I finished to find that they had all left for the mall, without me. I felt completely abandoned, unloved, unwanted. I was crushed. For years and years I was hurt and angry about this seemingly small but significant event in my heart. I eventually gave it to Yahweh, God, and forgave them. I admit, I was, no doubt, a pain in the neck to the oldest three siblings, the baby brat sister, when I was young. I wanted to do everything they did, and they did not want a tag-along baby sister to look after. I now know that, quite often, while we might know what we are doing, we are short-sighted as to the consequences of our actions. Forgiveness is the only route, and the only one Yeshua, Jesus, takes. Finally, read, and many others mentioned in this book, I forgive him for all he has done. Again, I myself am not perfect. Far, far from it. I know I need forgiveness also. And I forgive myself, too. For, just as Deborah says, there is nothing you have done that I could not do, and nothing I have done that you could not do. All ground is level at the cross. Red is a child of Yahweh, God, also. The scripture comes to mind, let the sinless one of you first cast a stone. Read John 8:7. I thought I had forgiven him, forgiven everyone, completely. However, writing this book brings up memories, memories that I had buried deep. Also, I noticed that I got emotional when editing these chapters with a dear friend. I can almost hear in my mind Daniel saying, "This means you are not completely over these events, not 100% surrendered. Father, forgive me. As I have learned from Dr. Tom Taylor and Barbara Brown, and thus included with all other accounts in life, when forgiving, I place all in front of the cross. Forgive all. Forgive myself. Thank Yahweh, God, for all that I learned, and place everything and everyone in Yahweh's, God's hands. Stand up and walk away, praising Yahweh, God, looking forward and focusing on Him alone." Let us keep our eyes firmly on Yeshua, Jesus, remembering that we are only sojourners in this world, and looking to the day we are in heaven with Him and our Father, Yahweh, God. Come, Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus Christ, come. Philippians 3:12-14. Not that I already obtained, or am already perfected, yet I am pursuing, if I may be grasping also, that for which I was grasped also, by Christ Jesus. Brethren, not as yet am I reckoning myself to have grasped. Yet one thing, forgetting indeed those things which are behind, yet stretching out to those in front, toward the goal am I pursuing for the prize of God's calling above, in Christ Jesus. Imagine what this would look like if everyone forgave, if everyone had a true heart to hear and heed Yahweh, God. One day, every knee will bow. Oh, what a glorious day that will be! As Corrie ten Boom said, and for all these people alike, the key to healing turned out to be the same. Each had a hurt he had to forgive. From Corrie ten Boom quote, gathered on June 7th, 2021 at everydaypower.com. While I have forgiven many people for many things, I am still maturing in the Lord, though not perfect, not on this earth. In one area of life, I am in process of forgiving someone close to me, every day closer to the finish, and thus to Yahweh's, God's, complete peace. And it would do me well to forgive myself much more in everyday life also. This would mean releasing the chains of guilt, cutting the cord of condemnation, and freeing the way to ultimate peace, His peace. Amen. Luke 23:34. Father, forgive them, for they are not aware what they are doing. Luke 6:27-28. But to you who are hearing, am I saying, love your enemies, be doing ideally to those who are hating you, bless those who are cursing you, pray concerning those who are traducing you. Mark 11:24-26. Therefore I am saying to you, all, whatever you are praying and requesting, be believing that you obtained, and it will be yours. And whenever you may be standing praying, be forgiving. If you have anything against anyone, that your Father also, who is in the heavens, may be forgiving you your offenses. Now, if you are not forgiving, neither will your Father who is in the heavens be forgiving your offenses. As Barbara Brown writes in her book, God is God, and we are not. Quote, when we really understand that God is sovereign, we learn how to walk the slave and his master. Story in Luke 17:7-10. Knowing we're just supposed to be God's kids and serve Him. Then, even through our tests, we can love everyone God has brought into our lives, knowing they can't do anything He doesn't allow, and they're helping produce His best in us. End quote. From God is God and We Are Not by Barbara Brown, MSE. Page 120. And, as both Dr. Tom Taylor and Barbara Brown write in their book, Rescuing God from the Rubble of Religion, quote, give thanks for everyone and everything in your life. Love it, change it, or leave it and start over. Whichever option you choose, learn from every experience. Repent where you fall short of the ideal. Forgive, bless, and walk on in love, peace, and joy. End quote. From Rescuing God from the Rubble of Religion by Dr. Tom Taylor and Barbara Brown, MSE, page 155. Father in heaven, thank you for each and every day of my life. Thank you for every person whom you have placed in my path, know today, and will yet meet. Thank you for all I have learned in the past, for all I am learning today, and for all I will learn in the future. You alone are Yahweh, God, and there is no other. I would not choose to relive many days of the past. However, I thank you for each of the days that led me closer to you. You know all things. Thank you for turning all in my life to your good as I love you and keep you first in my life above all else. You are Yahweh, God, and I am not. I surrender all. As I used to sing in church as a teenager, I surrender all. I sing today, I surrender all. Father, I ask that you bless every person I've ever met, friend or foe. Yeshua, Jesus said, bless those who curse you, bless and do not curse. So, Father, I bless everyone in my life, past, present, and future. Thank you for your gift of grace. May it flow to each and every person in my life, past, present, and future, as well as to your child reading this. Grant forgiveness, grace, life, peace, and love to each and every child of yours, Father. Open their eyes to see you and you alone. Not who religion portrays you to be, but the true, loving Father, who you really are and always have been. Show everyone that they are precious to you. that you would leave the 99 and seek to find them, the one, just as you did with me. I only pray you are smiling down on me, Father. Thank you, Father, for your patience with me, as I learn to hear your voice alone, and as I obey your voice alone. I desire and obey your voice, so I am found faithful until I am ascending as Yeshua, Jesus, is descending. Bless everyone. In Yeshua's, Jesus' holy name, amen, amen, and amen. Psalm 85, 7 through 9. Show us, O Yahweh, your benignity, mercifulness, kindness, and bountifulness from the concordant literal keyword concordance, and grant us your salvation. Do let me hear what the one El shall speak. Yahweh, indeed, he shall pronounce well-being to his people, to his benign ones, to those who turn back their heart to him. Yea, his salvation is near to those fearing him, that glory may tabernacle in our land. And that is the end of the chapter. For additional scripture teaching and real-life examples of others' inspiring victories of forgiveness, freeing them from pain and bondage, and opening them up to themselves receiving forgiveness from Yahweh Himself, Yahweh led me to create a Bible teaching on forgiveness, which includes this book chapter recording also. You will find this in the Miraculous Healing Service titled Forgiveness, the Path to Freedom. Go to our Bible teaching page on our website, heavensviewministry.org or behealedtoday.org to find this helpful Bible teaching from Yahweh. Blessings beyond. Tamra Jean.